Back in July of 2018, my wife ended up going into the hospital, and we didn't know what was wrong with her, but she was having some pain in her chest area. Come to find out, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And from that point on, for about a year, she had surgery to she actually removed her left breast. Thankfully, the cancer was contained within the ducts of it so that it wasn't able to spread throughout her body. We were able to find that out. But that was a trial that we had gone through. Similarly, I had an experience myself where a few years later, I ended up in the hospital for about a week because previously to that, I myself had experienced 3 rounds of chest pains. And I went to the ER twice for that, and come to find out that all the while it was my gallbladder. And eventually I'd have had my gallbladder removed. But again, that was a very serious health trial that I went through, a very serious health trial that my wife also experienced. And undoubtedly, through all those trials, we offered up prayers to our Heavenly Father, right? We asked God, please help my wife or help me to understand what I need to do for her, for the situation, right? And there were some of those prayers that were answered. We could physically see that something had culminated. But there were also prayers that didn't get answered that we offered up to our Heavenly Father. We may think that due to unanswered prayers, God doesn't pay attention to us when we pray to Him, when we heartfelt are coming to Him with voice and asking Him, Heavenly Father, please help my mate, please help me go. And it's mostly through some type of physical trial because those are the kind that really affect us, it seems. And that's the subject of my sermonette today. Is unanswered prayers. That's also the title of it, Unanswered Prayers. And just like my wife, just like myself, just like other individuals that we can look at in the Bible, we will look at one person here just now, but there are countless places that you could turn to and see that God didn't answer somebody's prayer. And the Apostle Paul is one of these men that could have concluded that God wasn't listening to him. After all, he urgently pleaded with God to intervene for him with a chronic physical disease trial that he was experiencing. But God refused to grant Paul's request. What was Paul's request? Well, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians. Now, just because God didn't answer Paul's prayers, did that mean that he was lacking in faith or lacking in some area in his life and God was trying to teach him some type of lesson? Of course not. However, there is a deeper lesson for us and one that Paul also came to realize himself. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verses starting in verse 7. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Continuing on in verse 8, it says, "Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." So three separate occasions, Paul came before our Heavenly Father with heartfelt prayers, asking him to please intervene on his behalf to take whatever it was away. Now, we don't know what the trial was, but there are comments in Paul's writings that hint at that maybe it was some type of eye problem. But regardless of what it was, The implication is that Paul fervently asked God to intervene on his behalf through this physical trial, no doubt with prayer, fasting, because he wanted the hindrance to be removed. Like I said, in my case, I wanted to find out what was going on with my body. My wife was under the same impression as well. And we ask God for guidance. We ask God for direction. We ask God for healing. Paul did the same thing here. He raised up his prayers to God. But God didn't, it seemed like God wasn't listening. And Paul could have concluded that God wasn't hearing his pleas. But that's not the case. God was simply giving Paul a different answer, which was actually the right answer in Paul's case, even though Paul didn't maybe necessarily want to have that type of answer presented to him. Because continuing on in verse 9 says, "My grace," he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly," Paul goes on to say, "I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So Paul's answer to his heartfelt prayers up to our Heavenly Father was, "No, I'm not going to grant you your desires to have whatever this physical trial is, whatever is afflicting you, to go away. I want you to endure it." That was the answer that he was given. Paul came to a deeper spiritual understanding that strengthened his faith, strengthened his commitment in God. Paul came to see that the credit belongs to God and Jesus Christ rather than himself, and that his weakness drew him closer to our Heavenly Father. That's why he said at the latter part of verse 9, "Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities," I would rather have them, "than that the power of Christ may rest upon me," that I would be able to carry on what Paul was doing here, preaching the gospel. And continuing on in verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities." How many of us say, "I gladly take pleasure going through this severe health trial"? I don't think any of us would want to raise our hands, because we don't. But that's the answer that we may get sometimes, is that God is telling you, you have to endure it. That's what I want you to be doing at this juncture in your life. And you'll see why later on. The answer isn't always, "Yes, okay, I'll heal you." At least not right away. "Therefore," continuing on in verse 10, "therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions in distresses for Christ's sake." He goes on to say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Of course, Paul's experiences were not typical of what most modern Christians experience today. You can go on to read everything that happened to him throughout his life. I know that I, for one, would not want to experience all that Paul experienced in his life. Being stoned to death and coming back, being in prison for I don't know how many years, being persecuted, lashed two or three times? Three times? Yes. Still, that thorn in the flesh stands as an important spiritual lesson for us today, brethren. Because sometimes when we have unanswered prayers, God's answer for us is actually no, or not at this time. We know that God never intended our physical bodies to last forever. If we are able to, he grants us, 70 to around 90-ish years, if we're lucky. But he is far more concerned with our holy, righteous character and how we are developing that within each of us, rather than thinking about whatever health trial, whatever situation that you're going through at the time. Because I can guarantee you, as you're going through that trial, it is building your faith. It is building that holy, righteous character that you have. We know that God wants to resurrect us to eternal life in a glorious immortal body that won't be subject to weakness, illness, or death. And won't that be wonderful when that happens? But in the meantime, Paul understood that God in his love will never allow us to have more than what we can bear, right? You can just jot down 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll just read it to you here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That you may be able to go through whatever it is, whatever trial that you are going through at that point in your life. Because sometimes the quote-unquote way out is simply the determination to endure the trial or to stand up under it. Paul is not the only one who learned this lesson. Like I said, there are countless stories in the Bible that we can refer to with men and women that God may have not answered their prayer in the way that they wanted to. Jesus Christ was also one of them. Knowing that he faced a cruel death only hours away, he prayed, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me." He was a physical human being, just like you and I. You and I would not want to experience what he knew he was going to go through. But he did anyways, because his heart, his desire, his will was to do what God the Father wanted for him. And that's the same approach that we need to have in our lives as well. Jesus loved life and he wanted to live as much as anyone, but he acknowledged a greater purpose for his physical life, which was to live God's will in his life instead of his own. Again, something that we all strive to do. God knows what is best for us in the long run, brethren, even if it may conflict with our short-term desires, our short-term prayers that we offer up to God. He doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we desire him to answer them. But he is listening. Even when we think we have unanswered prayers, know that God knows what's best for us. And even though we're praying for this, and he says, no, I'm not going to give that to you right now. I want you to go down this path. This is the path that we need to be taking, even if we physically can't see it, right? He does not always answer our prayers with immediate satisfaction. But again, referring back to what I just read, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he will not allow you or I to go through such a trial that we cannot bear through it. Sadly, some people have given up on God because of unanswered prayers or the lack of intervention. Because when they're going through it, they pray to God. Say, God, please help me. And they don't get the answer that they want. And maybe the trial endures, right? And they still don't get the answer that they want. And they just sort of drift away. Because they think that God wasn't helping them. But God didn't create us to be like robots, right? Blindly just following him automatically. Just doing whatever he wanted us to do. Rather, he wanted us to exhibit faith in him, in Jesus Christ. and choose to believe him, despite not directly seeing or hearing him. That's what faith is. That's what we need to build up in our lives. We are told to pray to our Heavenly Father to strengthen our faith, aren't we? Yet, when we do so, it doesn't come in a nice package from Amazon.com or whatever your form of purchasing online is. There's a movie that I related to last week, and I got the title wrong, but has anyone ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? It stars Jim Carrey and Morgan Freeman. In this instance, Morgan Freeman plays a character of God, and Jim Carrey is some TV personality or commentator, what have you, for the news. Anyways, he's going through a hard time. He cries out to God, and again, he feels like his prayers aren't answered, so he curses God, right? And so here comes Morgan Freeman, and he says, okay, if you think you can do it better than I can, I'll give you my powers. And he gives Jim Carrey his powers, and he has all these nice experiences and also some not so nice experiences. But one time he gets on his computer and there are these thousands and thousands of emails, right? And he's like, what are these? And the voice of Morgan Freeman comes and says, well, those are all the prayers that you have to answer. So he sits there and starts with the first one, types a response that he thinks would help benefit the person, sends it off. But, I mean, the list just keeps growing and growing and growing. And he gets frustrated at this. So he just control A to select all, and then yes. So he answered yes to everyone's prayers. That's not the case with God and you and I as Christians. Because sometimes that yes may come, right? When we fervently pray to our Heavenly Father, He may grant you your petition. But more often than not, I think, He will say, not yet. Or instead, I want you to go down this avenue. Because I want you, as an individual, to realize that you need to rely on me, on our Heavenly Father. That builds our faith. Trials build our faith. They give us a chance to be tested. They give us a chance to persevere, to overcome, to strengthen, to reinforce, to secure our faith in God and Jesus Christ, even when it seems the evidence is lacking, right? We don't see our prayers being answered. So as I wind down this message, what are some things that we can learn from unanswered prayers? I just jotted down a few here. Number one is that the response that God may have may not be the one that you want. And that's okay. We need to realize that. Number two, God will answer one way or another, but not in your time, in His time. Number three, trials do make us stronger. Like I said, they do build up our faith, don't they? Because inevitably, when we're going and experiencing a trial, that draws us closer to our Heavenly Father. We can learn from unanswered prayers. And more often than not, that's what God wants for us. When we pray, like I said, when we pray for healing, right? And we don't necessarily get it right away. But God just says, have patience, trust in me, and I'll see you through it. We know that faith is required when we do not receive the answer that we want. So in conclusion, brethren, God does aid. He does help us. He does listen and hear our heartfelt prayers when we are sincere in asking them. He truly does. We need to listen more carefully, though, when we don't get the answer that we're expecting. We need to have patience as we endure that trial, all while building faith in our reliance on God and Jesus Christ. Because the answer that God may have for you is just simply to trust in Him. That just may be what He wants from you at that point in your life. Trust in me, I will see you through it.